the Japanese commander that was in charge of that armada, he said he was afraid they had awakened a sleeping tiger, and which I guess they did, you know.
That was an interview with Missouri veteran Robert Ray Walker. He was stationed at Pearl Harbor in the period immediately after the Japanese attack there in 1941. Last Wednesday, our nation acknowledged Pearl Harbor on the annual Remembrance Day. On this, the 75th anniversary of the Japanese attack on the Hawaiian Naval Base, we turn this week on KBIA's Thinking Out Loud to memories of Pearl Harbor. My name is Trevor Harris, and with some help from the State Historical Society of Missouri's oral historian Jeff Corrigan, I present excerpts this week from an oral history conducted last year with Bowling Green, Missouri resident Robert Ray Walker. The attack at Pearl Harbor began at 7:48 a.m. local time. The naval base there in the then Hawaii Territory was attacked by 353 Imperial Japanese fighter planes, torpedo planes, and bombers in two waves. The Japanese used six aircraft carriers to launch the attack. The eight U.S. Navy battleships on site were damaged. Four were sunk. The Japanese also sank or damaged three destroyers, a trio of cruisers, an anti-aircraft training ship, and a mine layer. When the smoke cleared, 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed, 1,178 wounded, and 2,403 Americans were killed. Among those who arrived immediately after the event was Fulton native Robert Ray Walker. It was in the late summer of 1941. Walker was a high school senior in Fulton. Feeling burned out on his academic experience, Walker longed for something different. With U.S. entry into World War II accelerated by the Pearl Harbor attack, the military was looking for a lot of good men and women. Here, in an oral interview from 2015, Walker tells interviewer Larry Glenn about shortages in wartime Missouri in 1941. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA.
Did you have to ration food or anything like that?
Well, there was a lot of that rationing. That hell, there was everything was rationed: meat, sugar, all kinds of groceries. They were pretty, you know, they had these ration stamps, you know, that you had to use for so much gasoline.
The voice there of Robert Ray Walker. He entered the U.S. Navy in the fall of 1941 and was sent to basic training in San Diego, California. When that training was completed, Walker was assigned as a supply man and sent to San Francisco. From there, he was to serve Allied troops fighting the Japanese in the Pacific Theater of World War II. Here, Robert Ray Walker talks about his basic training experiences.
But what got me was before that you actually got live ammunition and went to the Marine base where they do their fire training, we had to lay snapping in. You know, we call it snapping in. You'd look at these targets, you know, and pull the trigger and it doesn't happen, you know, just kick.
So they were saving ammunition.
Yeah. It was kind of a learning experience.
Now, on a ship, you would have to be very aware of what to do when the fire happened.
Yeah.
What kind of training did you have in that?
They would set things afire, you know, like with gas, you know, gas, and you'd have to use different ways of putting the fires out, you know, and all that stuff, which it was, you know, it was all right. But
yeah, had to wear a gas mask this time or just not?
Yeah, we used gas masks when we went through these gas, you know, these gas places where they had turn the gas on, you had to go through, put your mask on to that.
The attack on Pearl Harbor accelerated a need in late 1941 for additional U.S. troops to serve the war effort. After his training at the Navy base in San Diego, Robert Ray Walker was sent for additional training in San Francisco and then on to serve in the aftermath of the December 7th Pearl Harbor attack.
So you went to Pearl Harbor after San Francisco.
Yeah. See, we thought we were going on to Japan or some of those islands over there, and there was so many people getting discharged at that time. And there was a lot of guys that had served their time, and they were so many of them getting out, you know, and they needed people there at Pearl Harbor, so they dumped us out there. And there was a bunch of Japanese soldiers they were getting ready to send home. They took guys that gave them work details and took guys out to be with those Japanese soldiers. But that's about as close as I got to Japanese.
Those were prisoners of war.
Yes, prisoners of war.
Where did you go when you first came to Pearl Harbor? Did you stay at Pearl Harbor all the time?
Well, you were assigned barracks, and you done just about whatever they wanted you to do.
So you were based on land?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was based on the land there for several months.
Okay. Do you remember the kinds of things that they assigned you to do?
You just done whatever they told you to do, you know.
Okay.
Now, no telling what it would be, you know.
Pearl Harbor was, that was just shortly after the attack.
Yeah.
Did you see...
ships,
the results of Pearl Harbor?
Ships are still in the bay out there, you know, like the Nevada and Arizona. They never did get to Arizona up. It sank, and I don't think they even tried to get the bodies out of them. Because I know we never did hear nothing about any of the bodies, but they said there was... I guess it's still oil coming up in the water, you know, from that ship. Mm-hmm. But no, they didn't try to save anything. As far as I know.
Yeah. Were there buildings around Pearl Harbor that were still bombed up?
Well, no, the buildings weren't too big. It was the ships, mostly. The ships that the Japanese had bombed and they were burned, you know, pretty bad. Mm-hmm. That was about it, mm-hmm. You know.
Now, where were you in the United States when you heard about the attack on Pearl Harbor?
Well, I hadn't got into service yet.
Okay. Were you in high school?
Yes, I was in high school.
Okay. Now, when that happened, you you heard about it on the radio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all you heard on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was big news.
Yeah.
And big news.
Did your family have to take precautions because of the... raid, the Pearl Harbor raid?
Oh, they were hot on this, darken your windows at night, you know, and painting them black and all this stuff, you know.
On this, the 75th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack, we're listening to an oral history this week on Thinking Out Loud from World War II era veteran Robert Ray Walker. Last year, Larry Glenn gathered an oral history from the Fulton native. Here, Walker discusses sharing a troop transport trip with a group of Marines who didn't quite have their sea legs yet.
We went from San Diego to San Francisco on the General Mitchell.
Okay.
And then when we went over to Pearl Harbor, we got on the John Adams.
Okay. All right. And it was a troop transport?
Yeah. And we had a bunch of Marines on, you know, Marine boots from San Diego. And we all went to a movie one day on the ship. And you could tell it was the first time those guys had been on a ship. They, boy, we when we got out, you know, there was, they threw up on the floors and stuff would slide like it's on ice or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun.
Luckily, you didn't have to clean that up, I guess.
No, no, they had a crew that would do that. But yeah. Clean sweep down fore and aft.
Yeah.
Clean sweep down. There was an air base over there, Fort Island. We were over there for a little while, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. We were Pearl Harbor. Well, actually, I was sent up to up in the higher up in the island. There was a radio station up there. It was in the middle of a pineapple field, uh-huh. Dole pineapple field.
Yeah.
And but it was quite a situation, you know.
So what did they do there?
Everything was underground except for all the radio. They kept the news from everywhere. All these naval districts, you know.
They kept track of all the activity of the Navy and what was going on.
Right, right.
Yeah. What did you do there?
What did I do? I was a storekeeper.
Robert Ray Walker there recounting how he spent his time in the Hawaii Territory. Walker arrived in late 1941 as an 18-year-old serving with the United States Navy. After his service, Walker returned to the States and headed home to Missouri to begin classes he eventually completed at Central Methodist College, now University. Here, Walker talks to oral historian Larry Glenn in a 2005 oral history interview about the end of Walker's military service.
Was there anything interesting that happened on the trip back to?
Not really.
Were there a lot of people getting out of the service, going back at the same time?
Oh yeah, there was quite a few.
Uh-huh.
There was quite a few. Well, there, like I say, there was Marines and Navy personnel that was getting out, you know, mm-hmm. or going back to the States. So, see, Hawaii wasn't a state when we were over there. It was a province. No, they didn't call it that.
Wasn't a territory.
Huh?
Wasn't a territory.
It was a territory, but it wasn't called a state.
Uh-huh.
That happened several years later.
Okay.
Like Alaska, you know, or some of those.
Right.
So that's...
Okay, so you came back to the States, and you were discharged. What happened after that?
Well, I tell you what, we had two desks. We went in a place where we were discharged. They had two desks, mm-hmm. and they said, "If you all want any way you want to stay in, go over to this desk and sign your papers, and then if you want to get out." Go over to this desk here, and so I said, heck with it. I hadn't been home for a while, so I didn't stay.
After Walker's service was over, he returned to Missouri, got a degree from Central Methodist College in Fayette, married Eloise Van Beening, and raised four children. They're three, and the son Eloise brought to the Union with Robert. He eventually worked for the Kroger Corporation for 30 years at locations in Vandalia, Louisiana, Troy, and Bowling Green, Missouri. The interview that you just heard was conducted last year, where Walker still lives in Bowling Green. He's remained active in his local VFW and Democratic Party Club. The recording we heard today is part of the Oral History Archives at the State Historical Society of Missouri, located here in Columbia. While the interview we just heard with Robert Ray Walker happened last year, Field workers back in 1942, under Supervisor Alan Lomax, gathered man-on-the-street interviews with Americans. Their reactions to the Pearl Harbor attack were recently digitized and added to the Library of Congress American Memory Oral History Collection. Here's some audio from that collection.
Dear Mr. President, there are many questions that I would like to ask about this program that is going on now, but before I would ask those, I would like to ask why our Department of Justice has been so lenient with those who have been caught in subversive activities. We have example of men who have been in high government positions that have been proved to be connected with different organizations that are absolutely against our form of government and our democratic ideals. I might mention Harry Bridges and his wife, who have been in this country many years and have lived under the blessings of democracy while they were undermining our government. I cannot understand why we have extended to them all the courtesies of democracy under these circumstances, and they are not alone. There are many of those people, and if our Americans in foreign countries had been caught in similar circumstances, I am quite sure that those governments would not have been as merciful as we have been. That is one question I would like to have answered.
My name is Morgan Selfridge, Superintendent of Schools at Crane, Missouri. My dear Mr. President, I want to pledge to you and Congress the allegiance of our school to your program. I am sure the schools of America will go with you 100%. As we are with you in this fight, we want you to remember that the schools are an important institution in our democracy and that we must continue the school's program. Recently, there has been much discussion relative to the elimination of the NYA. Our school has participated in that program for a number of years and have found it helpful. However, I believe that part of it can be eliminated as an economy measure. However, I would recommend that the college age for students who wish to go to college would not be eliminated. Another phase of your program, which I want to commend, is the School Lunch and Garden Project program, which was inaugurated a few years ago. We participated in that program last year and have found that we can furnish to our underprivileged boys and girls one good meal a day. We are participating in that program again next year, and nearly all of the schools of our county will participate with us. Until recently, I have been reluctant to accept your foreign policies. However, as events unfold, you are being proven right and I wrong. I have recently read Berlin Diary. This book has done much to change my opinions and show me the objectives of Hitlerism. I believe everyone should read this book. Now, in conclusion, may I again pledge my allegiance for myself and my community to your program. I thank you.
That was fresh reaction back in 1941, gathered immediately after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. We heard from Stone County, Missouri's Mrs. Porter Lucas and Superintendent of Schools at Crane, Missouri, Morgan Selfridge. The NYA that Selfridge mentioned was the National Youth Administration, a New Deal agency that operated between 1935 and 43, providing work and educations for Americans between the ages of 16 and 25. My thanks to the State Historical Society of Missouri's oral historian Jeff Corrigan and KBIA's Braden Kobeski and Nathan Lawrence for their assistance with the audio. With very few surviving members of the Pearl Harbor attack remaining alive 75 years after the event, now seemed like a good time to reflect on the event that brought the U.S. fully into World War II.